Again, I appreciate the singing tonight. Has this already been muted or not? It had been when it still makes a noise whether it muted or not. All right, well, that makes it even more fun. All right. Do appreciate the singing, and I sure am glad we can trust him. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We've been looking at gaslighting, villain or victim. Dealing with narcissism and narcissist. And this, of course, the term gaslighting came from a play that ended up being a movie that was made in 1944, where a man was trying to convince his wife that she was thinking wrong, that she was crazy, that she was losing it. And so from that term, or from that thought, has become the popular term, gaslighting, of trying to manipulate the thinking of others. And that is not only something that's out in the world or in movies or plays, but it's in the church. It's in people. We are people. And I have chosen the two sides, I suppose, of the villain, which is the one that's guilty, and then the victim, which is the one that suffers because of being connected to sometimes a friend, sometimes a neighbor, sometimes a coworker, sometimes a spouse or a family member. And I have simplified it an awful lot by putting it in only two categories, because really that suggests one is innocent and one is guilty. And that's never the case completely, not 100%. Usually both or a little bit of both and a little bit of the blame for whatever kind of issues we have between us and someone else. The term or the fault of narcissist or narcissism is a personality disorder, excessive self-centeredness, a need for admiration, a lack of empathy, a need to manipulate, to use others, a person who never accepts the blame. I've dealt with several different things. I've dealt with the definition of the danger and the damage and the difficulty. I want to look at this tonight. Maybe it'll give you a little bit of hope that this thing's about to come to an end. You heard the word about, though, didn't you? There's a deliverance involved, a deliverance involved. There is a hope. I'll tell you one thing, if you know a true narcissist, you would wonder, is there any hope? If you've had to deal with that, and I talked with someone a while back, not anyone here tonight, and they certainly had a family member they were having tremendous problems with. And I know the person I was talking to, and I know the person they were talking about. And while I was listening on the phone, I was thinking, oh, you poor, poor soul, you. I would hate to have to deal with this person. But they are still in that conflict the last time I talked to them. So I said that to say this, to even think there's even a hope of things improving. Sometimes in our mind we think, I'm not too sure about that. But there is a deliverance involved. There is hope to be had. Whether you're the villain, the one that's truly guilty, or if you're the victim, the one who is receiving the brunt of the damage and the battle, there's hope to be had. I want to say this again. I'll try to remind us maybe from time to time. I'm going to really slow down tonight because I want to get this across. This is very important tonight. I want to mention the fact that never is one completely guilty and one is completely innocent with any kind of condition or state like this. But I will say this, we all are diseased. We all are like a diseased vine. And it's difficult to get good fruit off of a diseased vine. The only hope we have, like this morning, diseased heart, defiled heart. We are broken inside. The only way to get something good out of us is the Holy Spirit, the God of heaven, working in us and through us. And that's why there's hope. That's why there's a deliverance. A good fruit comes from a good heart that's regenerated and worked through by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's a deliverance, but it's going to take some effort. There's going to be some things. Anytime there's victory, there is victory because something happens. Someone does something right instead of doing something wrong. And that brings us to this point. As far as this deliverance, a desire is needed. I'll mention some things I've mentioned quite often lately. It seems as though the Lord has put us in this direction and in this vein of thought, and I want to express it again tonight. A desire. We must want the help. If you've ever dealt with a narcissist, if you are, the word I've used or using, if you are a victim, you know it's a battle. And you know, for there to even be the thought of deliverance, you think, oh no. If you've been connected with them for very long or any length of time, you know the battle. And you get to where you just want to throw up your hands and quit and give it up and just suffer through it. So to want deliverance for yourself and want deliverance for them, there must be a desire. I promise you, it will not be easy. It will probably be one of the hardest, if not the hardest thing you'll ever do. Whether you're the villain, you're the one that has this issue, problem, or you're the victim, the one that's connected to someone who does. It'll be the hardest thing you've ever tried. So therefore, you must be wanting it to a significant point to where you're willing to do what it's going to take. That must be not only a desire, I'm talking about deliverance, not only a desire for deliverance, for things to get better, for things to improve, but listen to this, a desire for God's will. Because if our desire, let's say for as a victim, if our desire as a victim is to just finally get some peace, for finally life to be normal with this person and me, for things to make sense, for things to be easy, for the arguments to stop. Now listen to what I'm saying. If that is the victim's desire, those are somewhat selfish desires. Because what that's saying is, I want my life to be easier. That's somewhat selfishness. But if our desire is, instead of wanting my life easier, we want God's will. We see that villain, we see that person who is a narcissist as a person who needs to get right with God, a person who is not doing God's will, doesn't have God's attitude, doesn't have God's heart, isn't acting as God desires. If we as a victim will see that in the light of the spiritual and not just what we desire, it'll be more likely God will hear our prayer. Because really, if I'm just asking God to do something to make me feel better, there is a tint of selfishness in that. And I'm not so sure that He'll listen to our prayer. He may in mercy, but I do know this. If our desire for deliverance is, I want God's will. I want that person right with God, serving Him. And I also want me to have the right attitude. I want us to both be right with God. If that's our desire, I'm sort of going to believe that God is moved by that and will help us both. So a deliverance is involved. But there's a desire that's necessary. To be honest, both really needs to want to have the victory. the villain, that they'll see themselves as they are and realize they need to change and ask God to help them and let Him help them. And the victim to realize that person and myself needs help from God. A desire. The deliverance involves a desire. The deliverance involved also a discernment. There's not only a desire that's necessary, but discernment. Understanding. Seeing things as they are. Seeing the truth about the matter. Now, as I've begun this investigation of this subject, I have Googled, of course, to begin with. I have Bibled, of course, as always, and studied the Word of God. And one thing I have found, there is a lot of opinion. There's a lot of suggestions. There's a lot of information, and a whole lot of it is a bunch of junk. So discernment is important. If we're going to have deliverance, true deliverance, villain or victim, we must know what the Bible says. Not just what the world says, what the psychiatrist would say, what the psychologist would say, what the counselor would say, what the experts, quote unquote, would say, but what does God say? The discernment of knowing what's right, what's wrong, what's real, what's not. We must, if we're going to get deliverance, we got to get it the right way or we're not going to get it. And we can thrust all of our emotion and all our effort in the wrong thing and come up with the wrong result. The Pharisees did that, by the way. They believed what they believed and they poured their life into it. And the end result is, Jesus said, you are wrong, wrong, wrong. You're doing what you believe, but what you believe is wrong, so what you're doing is wrong. I'm talking about the deliverance involved. There's a deliverance possible. It'll have to be because of desire. There'll have to be discernment. And what we're going to do, and I won't do it a lot tonight, this is something I will not rush through. If I do, it'll do us no good. It's going to take some digging. But when I look at the scripture, we're going to find out that there's some scriptures I think that we have overlooked or neglected or forgot the Bible says. I'm going to try my best when I get into the real meat of the matter. I'm going to try to rightly divide the word. That's what the Bible says. We are to rightly divide the word. Those words, rightly divide, means to cut properly. It comes from like Paul being a tent maker. To make a tent, you had to cut certain sections, and you put those sections together, you sew them together, and it made the tent. Each of those sections had to be cut properly to where they would fit properly, to where they were sewed together properly. It made the tent properly. And that's what we have to do with the Word of God. This verse and that verse and how they fit together. We must look at the Word of God rightly to have the right outcome and the right information. It's going to take discernment. We need to be discerning not only of the Word of God, but discerning of ourselves. Discerning of ourselves. I've said this so often here lately, that we might know ourselves as we are. Not what we think we are, not what we assume we are, not what others think we are, but what God knows we are. This deliverance that's involved, it takes desire and it takes discernment. And it takes determination. There's something different about this issue that seems to be, I suppose it's so inbred in the person who's the villain, and it's so overwhelming for the person who's the victim. It is so overwhelming. It is so difficult. It is so inbred in the person. It is truly what the person is, not just something they do, but something they are. And if the victim wants deliverance, There's going to have to be determined to do what the Lord says to do to get the victory they can have. And if the villain wants deliverance, they're going to have to do what the Lord says to do to get the deliverance. And that's going to take some good God-generated determination. That's something God does in us, because it won't be easy. I say it again, it won't be easy. Could I say it again? It won't be easy, and it probably won't be quick. I said probably won't be quick. Now, God can do miracles. God can open eyes and people see themselves that they are and repent quickly and instantly and get help and get changed. That can happen. But for some reason, with this particular subject matter and this particular subject, it doesn't very often happen that way. So it probably won't be quick, which means we're going to have to be determined. You may have to be, might ought to take that may off. You will have to be willing to endure the fight until the victory comes. This deliverance involves desire, it's necessary. Discernment is necessary. Determination is necessary. It involves decision. Somebody's going to have to decide, I will do what I need to do to get the help that I need. Villain or victim, I decide I'm going to, with God's help, to do what He tells me to do. Maybe the villain has been made aware of their condition for a good while. And they know they need help, but they've just pushed it aside. They've explained it away. They haven't paid the price for victory. And they keep on and on and on doing the wrong things for the wrong reasons. They must, if they're going to be victorious, if they're going to be delivered, they must decide, I've waited long enough. I have put it off long enough. I have explained it away long enough. I've excused myself long enough. I am going to do what God says because I need change. I need change. The villain must decide, or the victim must decide, that what they must do in regard to that villain, in regard to that person in their life that's no doubt a narcissist, they must decide, I'm going to do what is needed, no matter what it takes. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard thing to decide, but it must happen if there's going to be deliverance. It's important to know what God says and do what God says if we expect to get help from God. I'll say this, I'll go on. Remember, do you hear me? Remember, God wants victory for the victim and for the villain. He wants it. There's a deliverance involved. Now, I want to mention tonight just a few things. I'm going to pick on the villain first. The victim we'll deal with later, but the villain, the one who is guilty, the one who has this problem. I'll use the word every once in a while, affliction, but I don't want to be misunderstood when I say that, because I'm not saying like they talk about alcoholism is a disease. I'm not talking about that. This is sin. It is sin, but it isn't a spiritual affliction. So now, tonight, the deliverance for the villain. Of course, I have my words. My first word is this, ask. I want to pause right here and say this. I want every one of us listening tonight, everyone who listens to this later, to not assume that I'm talking about someone else now. Not assume that you are the victim and you're thinking about someone who is the villain. That you are the innocent and you're thinking about someone else who is the guilty. I want you to think about yourself. I want you to open your mind and listen to what I'm saying. I'm speaking to you, only to you. I want you first. I'm doing it myself, for myself. Ask. Ask the Lord for discernment. Ask the Lord for discernment. What do I mean? Ask God to show you. God, please show me me. Not what I have thought about myself, not what I think others' opinion of me is, but Lord, what do you see in me? I've read the verse before many times. The psalmist said it in Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And he continues about, if you find anything in me, show me and get rid of it. He said to God, search me. The thought is, search me thoroughly. Examine every area of my life. I'm talking about deliverance. I'm talking about getting help. I'm talking about being changed. I'm talking about pleasing God. I'm talking about stopping wrong and doing right. The first thing in this deliverance, ask. Ask God, show me me. I'm saying very simply, very plainly, pray. Ask God, show me me, my heart, my motives, my desires, my actions, my attitude. Show me, and then listen to him. Listen to what he says. We do not need to be afraid of what God will say about us, because what he says about us will always be true. Now, that being said, it may not be easy to hear it. In fact, I would suggest that it'll be difficult hearing it. When you get through with this little lesson of asking, you probably won't have much pride left. Listen to what he says. Ask him, and then be honest with yourself about what he said. Number one, deliverance. We're talking tonight about the villain, the one who's guilty. But we're all doing this. Because listen to me, every one of us have at least a little, and maybe a more than a little, but every one of us have a little bit of these tendencies that I've talked about. Wanting our way, selfishness, and all those things. Every one of us have some of that in us, so we need this exercise. We need this discernment. We need this searching. Number one, ask. Number two, admit. Oh, my. When God tells you something's wrong, say, you're right, God. I admit it. That's not easy. And if we really listen, and we really take time to tune into what God says, it may be really difficult. But we must admit to God, we must admit to ourselves, Lord, you're right, that's wrong in my life, and it needs to change. You are right, God, you have shown me myself. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. Luke 8:15, Jesus is talking, he says, on good ground are they which have had an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. He talks there about the parable of the sower, and the soil that was good and receptive brought forth fruit. It produced good stuff. And he says that's the person who is honest, who hears, who receives, and keeps, does what God says. And that person gets fruit, and the others didn't. Admit. Luke 11:28, Jesus said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are those who hear, in this case, God's word, in my explanation tonight, who hear what God says about yourself, admits to him and yourself, he's right, and receive it. It's hard to be honest. It's hard to admit that you've been wrong and you need to change. We'd rather feel good about ourselves, but we won't get help if we don't do this examination. Listen to this. We will never improve until we admit that we need improvement. Improvement's a good word. Improvement's a good word. We ought to all want to improve no matter what. And we're talking about improving in a big way with what I'm dealing with tonight. So we need to be honest with ourselves, admit that we need Him, that we all need help, and that we should want it. Don't give excuses. When the Lord speaks to your heart and points out something that's an error or something that's wrong, don't explain it away. I wouldn't have said that if they hadn't said that. I wouldn't do this way if it wasn't for them. Don't try and blame others. Don't try to excuse it. You know who did that? Eve tried that. Adam tried that. And it didn't work out too well with God. And it's not going to work well with us. Don't offer excuses. Just say, God, you're right. You're right, God. Because, listen, you're not going to get any help. Wait. We're not going to get any help until we admit it. You can't expect a blessing if you're not going to listen to Him. You can't expect Him to bless you or me if we're not going to listen to Him. And then even more importantly, we can't expect Him to use us until we've heard Him and made the adjustments that we need to make. I'll say it again, the only way we can determine what's true and what's right is by the Scripture and by the Holy Spirit. What this Bible says and what the Holy Spirit says to our heart. And I promise you, and I think everyone would agree, there's no greater freedom than accepting what God has just told you and say, Lord, you're right. I turn from it. I repent from it. I ask you to forgive me. And that freedom comes. That release of guilt comes. There's nothing better than that. And it not only helps us feel better, it opens up a channel with God where we can get further help and further insight. Ask yourself this. Is this true of me? Ask yourself, is this true of me? Do I crave attention? Do I like to be recognized or appreciated? Do I need others? Do I want someone with me? Do I lean on them? Do I count on them? Do I depend on them more than is normal? Do I have to have someone treating me a certain way to be happy? Do they have to perform a certain way around me for me to be content? Ask yourself this. Do I focus on myself an awful lot? Ask yourself this. Do I need to control circumstances? Do I want my way? Do I find it difficult to accept rejection or someone disagreeing with me? Do I find myself blaming others? Ask yourself this, how long has it been since you said, I'm sorry, it was my fault, I'm the one to blame? Do you find yourself thinking you have the right to be angry? Can you explain, well, they said this, I have a right to get mad. Well, they're doing this, I'm right to get angry. Can you explain the circumstances to where it really does make sense to you, but it doesn't make sense to God? Ask yourself these things. Is this true of me? Do I have trouble forgiving? Do I hold grudges? Do I use it against them later on if they've done me wrong? Listen to this one. Do people fear me? Are they afraid I'm going to react wrong, either in anger or silent treatment or sulking or getting under the surface angry? Do they fear that? Do they control their actions around me because they're afraid of how I'm going to react because I overreact through the circumstances? Am I glad when they show that they're afraid of me? Because once again, I have control of the circumstances, and they're doing now what I wanted them to do all along. Now, all those things I just mentioned, I just went through several things for all of us to say, is this true of me? Guess who those traits are true of? Lucifer. Now, doesn't that make you feel real good about yourself? Lucifer. And every one of those traits that I just put into questions are directly contrary to the Word of God and God's will. And I'm talking tonight about deliverance, talking about the villain getting deliverance, the one who's guilty. I've used the word ask and admit, and I want to use the word now, accept. I mean by that, accept help. Accept help. The help we have comes from God and only God. A 12-step program will not work. You will go through the process of man's ingenuity and you come up with a man's solution. But we need something spiritual. We need something that God does in our heart and mind. Accept the help that He offers. If He speaks to you, listen. If He says something to you, even though it hurts, admit it and listen and be open. It gets even harder right here. I'm underlining my pause because I want you to hear me. If someone tells you that something you're doing is wrong, if they're telling you the truth, if what they're saying lines up with Scripture and what you're doing is wrong, accept it. That is harder than hearing it from the Holy Spirit. If He just speaks to our heart, it's hard enough. But when someone tells you what you're doing is wrong, there's automatic blockade, resistance. I'll say it like this. If a donkey tells us the truth about ourselves, we ought to listen. Because in the Bible, I find out when a donkey is used by the Lord, He speaks the truth. I'm talking about accept. Sometimes God will use someone saying something you don't want to hear. And when you hear it, you may get a little angry and a whole lot resistant. But if you listen to what they said and not worry about where it came from or as far as the person, if you'll listen, you'll find out it'll help you. And you needed to hear it. Some of the hardest lessons I've learned and the most significant changes of my life came because people through my life have told me what I didn't want to hear, and it came from people that I didn't want them to tell me, but they told me the truth. Accept the help from God no matter what avenue He sends it. It may be you reading the Bible. It may be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. It may be your worst enemy, but they tell you the truth. Accept, listen to the truth and accept it. One thing for sure, self will not work. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 12:3, that we're not to think of ourselves. Here's what the Word says, to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That means that none of us, he said that about the most religious people on earth. The best acting people, the best talking people, the best behaving people on earth. He said that about the Pharisees. And he said, by the way, don't think you're so great. Don't think you're so spiritual, because you're not either. So we as people tonight need to realize, I need help from God. Could I use the verse again? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Oh, Lord, show me what's wrong. Lord, help me to see my error. Listen. Help me to see the damage I'm causing, the hurt I'm causing, the problems I'm causing, the grief I'm causing people and you, the hindrance I am to your will in my life, the restriction of your power through my life. By being guilty of wanting my way too much. And begin by saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I want to read what David said. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. I acknowledge to you, God, that I have failed you. My sin is now obvious. I see it. Oh God, I repent. I give you myself. I ask you to forgive me. Take me and use me for your glory. We'll never get help. I say it again. We'll never get help if we continue to ignore the situation, whether victim or villain. It cannot be ignored. It cannot be explained away. It needs to be faced head on. And when victory does come, when things are different, we'll be glad we did what we did. I thought about this. I'm done. No one has ever repented, truly repented, and regretted it. Nobody. I'm going to close. If you want this altar, certainly here, but just there in the pew. Will you begin your little journey by asking God to show you yourself? Not thinking about someone else right now, but yourself. Father, thank you.